You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Andy Zanka, the Youth Empowerment Program, checking out with Thriller, Michael Jackson. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie, Computer Guy. And let's give you some electrons.
Hey, Matt.
There, we have electron flow. Excellent. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie, the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Umbrella Roofings and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. All right. So last week we said we were going to talk about passwords and those kinds of things for Donna. So, or was it one of the callers?
I can't remember either. I don't know. Our in-studio guest has agreed to be cross-examined or interviewed, so I think we should do that first.
All right.
So just so people know that there's an additional presence here in the studio. So we have Steve Tarver with us, and Steve has been doing work with the CenturyLink public cloud. Did I get that right?
Did I get the phrasing right on that?
Okay. So I got to admit... you know, and I'm the first one to say that I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing it for like 20 years. And quite honestly, whenever somebody proposes that I start adding more information to my head, my eyes start to glaze over. You know, I'm very resistive. I'm turning into an old fuddy-duddy. But I wasn't aware. Well, I know that every broadband provider is doing some sort of like cloud-based, you know, storage or whatever. Or not every, but a lot of them. But I was unaware that CenturyLink was doing anything like that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that program, if you would?
Well, CenturyLink has purchased a lot of companies to make a bigger presence into the kind of cloud ecosystem. And they bought a company called Tier 3. And They're based out of Seattle. They were competitors to companies like DigitalOcean. And they were doing a lot of evangelical work and really trying to promote cloud-native everything. So you were talking about wanting to know less, have to do less. I don't want to add any more kind of stuff to my plate. And that's what the premise of the cloud is all about, is the ability to offload all these things that you don't really care about, that don't move your business forward. So reducing your operational load by outsourcing your servers, you can have your databases outsourced, all your network, a lot of the kind of mundane things that we hire huge operational staff to take care of, the public cloud will take care of for you. So they brought that in, and they have a large cloud engineering department that covers, you know, the traditional large enterprise, but then also kind of democratizes the whole notion of starting up a business. So for a few bucks, I can go up and stand up new web servers and start a web presence and start my business. And I think that's a really neat kind of a deal, because now two guys in the basement can have an amazing idea and create a new business. And the only limit is their ingenuity and their hard work. And that's really a cool deal, instead of, you know, having to be an Oracle sized corporation to start a new business.
Yeah. Well, I would completely agree. I supported I basically administrated several early generation Exchange servers. And I could tell you, man, I don't ever want to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning on a phone call with India, because the online store is crashed. You know, and I don't mean like the app store. I mean the data store for all everybody's mail and stuff. And I know that CenturyLink's been doing stuff with, or actually no, that was something that was inherited by Quest, inherited from Quest, because they had like, we're getting into hosted Exchange. Is that considered to be part of the same program, or is that kind of more of a, you know, like a outside extension of?
It's an interesting mix when you have a large corporation. You know, they were before the recent Level 3 merger, they were a $16 billion company. Now they're $28 billion with about 60,000 employees. Each time they buy a company, it takes a few years to kind of consolidate all the different offerings. Mm-hmm. So you still have Quest-specific stuff, and that's here in Denver. And then the Savvis stuff that they bought that was a lot of networking and cloud engineering is out in St. Louis, and Tier 3 is up in Seattle, and Safe Haven kind of offsite data protection is up in like Toronto, all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So we consolidated all of that stuff into St. Louis and Denver and a little bit in Seattle. So I guess the short answer is there's a little bit of duplication. There's still the Quest offerings. Mm-hmm. And then they have more, there's a cloud engineering business unit that I was a principal in, and we're consolidating and kind of what they say is making the product offering sane and bringing mm-hmm. everything together and having a smaller offering of really coherent products.
Cool. Yeah, boy, I'm a full-fledged believer in getting as much stuff moved to the cloud as possible. The interesting thing is, though, that, I mean, consumers in general have chosen to be confused by the term.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it's like, I can't tell you how much time a week I spend explaining. I mean, people are like, what is the cloud anyway?
You know? It's a paradigm shift, and it takes a while for it to move through. And mm-hmm. the part that I was most involved with was kind of enterprise migrations to the cloud mm-hmm. and working with these very large companies. You know, there's about 500 enterprise level companies in mm-hmm. the nation. It takes a long time to get those ideas through from the top end down to the bottom end, or from the bottom end back into the top end. So uh-huh. it's something we all struggle with. Yeah. But the notion is letting somebody, you know, the whole promise of the cloud is kind of a multi-tenant thing. And let's take some experts that know how to do databases or network or virtualized computers, and let's let them do it. And they'll have many on the same architecture, and we'll get economies of scale. And that lets me focus on my expertise, my business domain knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a neat idea.
Yeah, definitely. Any questions, Matt?
No. I was going to talk about a little bit about, let's see here, the Roaring Fork technologists that we met at.
Nice.
So how did you find the Roaring Fork technologists?
You know.
Who are the – because
yeah, let's talk about
this
that.
This is obviously a club that I've been left out of.
Okay. And, let's see here. With the gentleman we had on for the Glen X.
Okay. Right.
Mentioned them to me.
All right.
So Jonathan Stokely mentioned – because I was asked him about, let's see here. I wanted to look at doing a competitor to Intuit.
Okay.
So I talked to him, and he's like, well, you should go talk to the Roaring Fork technologists. They're in the Glen X location. So then I went and talked to Justin and, let's see here. Darn it. Cerise over there.
Jeremy. Justin Lewis and Jeremy Cerise.
Yeah, they're kind of the architects of... that it's not formal or anything. It's just basically a website and a bunch of people mm-hmm. Who are interested in technology at this point, kind of talking about all kinds of stuff. So they've been trying to do a monthly meetup, and we met last week to do that. And I said, hey, Louis's looking at doing something different with the show. So it's like, well, let's start talking about that. And
mm-hmm.
so here we are.
Cool.
The promise of this group is really fascinating to me. We've got this rural, just beautiful area that we live in, and we've got these little kind of pillars of expertise, and bringing those together to share, because all of us are makers. We all love new technologies and plan with it. But then you also get technical fellowship or technological fellowship. And I found another Rust developer, and there's some Go developers, and just bringing those people together, and then as a core unit, being able to bring that out to other technologies who have the same thirst and intellectual curiosity and want to just learn. So mm-hmm. it's a really neat idea. It's starting to kick off. We've got the way that I found it is I've got a flatwater kayak that I'm trying to give to a good home, and I went out to Roaring Fork Swap. And I think I fat-fingered something, and then the search Roaring Fork Technologists came back, and I thought, well, that sounds cool. Let's see what they're about.
Wow. I'll tell you, I'm jealous that like people have time to sit around and be technologists, because I am so busy making sure that room 209 has Wi-Fi, you know. It's insane. It's like, but you know, talk about first world problems, you know. I mean, I've just literally, because yes. I've been doing this for about 20 years in the Valley, and I've just got way too many customers. And so, but you know, I'll deal with it. And I'll let other people sit around and be technologists, I guess. But anyway, it's...
Well, you know, Louis, one of our goals is to bring technology into our social lives. We've all got work jobs, but mm-hmm. we have a kind of a thirst for just people that think about the world that way and think about the detail of the world. And mm-hmm. so we're looking at ways to engage the broader community, and like happy hours or lunches. We're bringing some neat, just a pitch out for that group. The founder of Gitcoin that wants to fund open source through Bitcoin mm-hmm. is going to travel all the way up here on our next First Fridays here in Carbondale and talk about this new mechanism of using Bitcoin to fund open source, because that's always been a challenge.
Sure.
So
it seems like a natural fit. You know?
Sure.
I mean, more than a natural fit. So, yeah. Very good. Well, if anybody has any questions for Steve Tarver, they can call us at 970-963-2976. Or if they if you need us to remotely jiggle your cables. Oh, looks like the phones are lighting up already here.
All right. You're on with the geeks.
This is Craig and Rifle. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. How you doing, right there, Craig?
I'm doing good. Since you have a CenturyLink geek, I have a question.
Uh-oh. He's a former CenturyLink employee, right?
That's correct.
Is that title correct?
I've just left. I was a principal running their public cloud, so it's a separate business unit, and I just left.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear what
if it has
like
to do with
ask.
Copper wire or anything like that, he doesn't want to hear about it.
No. Well, I want to know what is involved in, let's say I get 1.7 megs down and 0.75 up. What is involved at the head in Rifle to get me to 12, which they've told me is available? Is that just like flipping a switch?
You know, that's an area of the business that I don't have a lot of direct contact with, but in lieu of Louie or Matt saying something, I think the first step is to call the CenturyLink offices and ask for steps to upgrade.
I can give you a quick answer on that. Part of it is flipping a switch, and part of it is them line testing the wiring. It pretty much the wiring has to be up to a certain standard everywhere from the central office to your house.
Okay, so if it's like five blocks, but I'm in Rifle, and uh-huh. they've told me that 12 is available.
Yeah.
I've been with CenturyLink on two lines for 20 years,
yeah.
and I'm paying the same amount that they're advertising for almost 10 times plus what I get.
Sure.
And so they just laid this beautiful fiber optic cable in my alley. And so my question would be to CenturyLink is, how soon should I call the fiber optic people and say, CenturyLink, you could have flipped the switch?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you.
That's a little different than flipping a switch.
Yeah.
Because you're switching mediums.
Yeah, if you're switching
mediums. I understand. What's to keep me from switching mediums when CenturyLink could have possibly flipped a switch a number of years ago when they told me 12 was available years ago?
Because you have to ask.
I did. Obviously, you haven't called those numbers.
Right.
So that's all I have. I heard I was driving from Glenwood. I haven't even unloaded my car because there was a CenturyLink somebody associated that I could talk to.
Nice. All right. Good to hear from you, Craig.
Bye, Louie.
Take care, man.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Have a few more minutes. 963-2976.
Yeah, you know, because I was stuck on the same exact plan that he's on when mm-hmm. I first moved to Canyon Creek. Because I originally... There used to be Rise Broadband up in Canyon Creek, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a repeater up on like a ham radio tower that had line of sight to Newcastle. And one day, about 2 months before I moved to Canyon Creek, their installers were out doing some equipment maintenance. And one of the guys got smart with the owner, the ham radio operator's wife. And when he came home that night, she said, get that crap off the tower. I don't want those guys around here ever again. And so Rise Broadband lost the whole entire subdivision of Canyon Creek over that situation.
Oops.
And but anyway, so I moved to Canyon Creek thinking that I was going to be able to get, you know, somewhere around 10 meg Rise broadband service. And I got there and I called them, and Rise broadband says, oh, we don't have service out there anymore. And so I called CenturyLink and they're like, oh yeah, we have this great silver DSL service, 1.5 meg down, 768 up. And but fortunately, about, it was about 6 or 8 months after that, I was driving down out of the subdivision, and I noticed the CenturyLink truck lingering over by the pedestal, and I thought, and I'm going to go over there and see what he's doing, you know, because he looked like more than just a regular telephone punch down guy, you know. So I went over there and he's like, oh yeah, we're upgrading the DSL up in this neighborhood, you know. And so I like immediately called. And it took them about 4 months. They tried to switch me over right away, and it didn't work right. And it took them about 4 months to finally get it together. But now I'm rocking the world at 7.5 down, man.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah. But no, you know, my Netflix doesn't buffer. So, I mean, it's all good. So,
I moved out here 4 years ago, and coming from the Midwest, Google had just laid fiber, so I had gigabit to the house.
Oh,
and
God.
Then I come up here, and it's, you know, it depends on where you live. You mm-hmm. know, in some places, if you're in a Comcast area, you can have 80 to 200, mm-hmm. and then you can also have 1.5 megabit.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with calling them, though. So
nope, call and ask, see what's available.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should probably kind of put that on your to-do list every, you know, year or 18 mm-hmm. months or so.
Yeah.
You know, call your internet service provider, see if there's a, you know, basically the same package with mm-hmm. You know, with a different you know, with a different download speed.
Yeah.
Cuz they up those to stay competitive, and even if it's not even if they don't have to be competitive in this market, since they're a large company, they usually offer it, you know, everywhere as long as the physically it's mm-hmm. available.
Yeah. Another call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hi. I've got a Dell laptop, Latitude, and it's been working fine. And then Sunday morning I go to log in, and it says group policy client service failed sign in and won't let me log in. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes. I've heard it from about three different people today.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact. Yeah. How does he fix it, Matt?
I usually just do a system restore.
Yeah.
To the latest restore point that usually will take care of it.
It was probably caused by the most recent update. Can you get to a screen that says, like when you first start up, what do you tap to get to the recovery screen?
Let's see. It's either
Windows 10.
Is it F10?
I can tap F2 and get to...
You can get to the BIOS. I think sometimes if you get, depending on if it's EFI, you can go in. And it'll give you an option to, boot to recovery. And then once you boot to recovery, it'll give you three or four options. So you can do, like, F12 or F2, mm-hmm. Depending on how the computer's set up. And you boot into recovery mode, and then it gives you some options there, and you'll want to restore to the, you know, latest previous one, you know, from yesterday or
something
like
that.
It'll
give you some system restore points, hopefully. Should give you a list of dates, you know, and just, you know, choose one, three or four days before
and
now.
And to do that, you would just... like tap F2 when it's booting up? Or when
It's usually F12, but it could be F2 depending on the system.
F12?
Yeah, because you're looking for boot options, and if it's a newer computer that has EFI, there'll be you'll see like boot to Windows, and you'll see boot to restore, and that'll be the one you're looking for. And then there should be one that says, you know, return my computer to a previous restore point.
Okay.
Yep.
And if I can't do that, can I get a hold of one of you guys?
You bet.
Okay.
Yep, that's just call the station. They'll send you. They'll dispatch you.
All right.
So
okay. Thank
all right.
you.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
All right. And I guess there's been some problems with. Have you encountered any problems on one of the Windows 10 upgrades that's happening? Machines that are running Avast, and it causes the desktop to come up free of any icons and unresponsive and. Have you seen that?
Well, I've had some weird stuff with the desktop being blank, but I don't. Mm-hmm. At least on my machine,
mm-hmm.
I haven't heard of any of my on my clients.
No, it's very. It's happened in the last 4 weeks, but some people are experiencing that. And what you do is, if you can, you know, you, if you do Control Alt Delete when the when you get that blank desktop and go into the
Task Manager.
Task Manager, sorry. And in Task Manager, you run, you go, you basically say Show More, and then you go to File and say Run, and in the Run window, it's what's the command line for programs and features? Is it PGMCPL or, you know, anyway.
Well, you just type in control panel and go into the, there. If it finds.
Yeah, that won't come up.
That doesn't come up?
That comes up without any icons.
Oh, so you got to go directly to it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm wanking here. It's too many command lines in my mind. So it is. I don't know why I feel compelled to tell people this, but.
So if you have a VAST on your computer and it's Windows 10 and everything's blanked out and it's running really slow, go into Task Manager by doing Control Alt Delete,
yep.
Or you can do Control Shift Escape, which will get you directly there. And then you're going to do want to run a Run command from there.
Actually, you can do Windows plus the R key. We'll give you the Run window.
Okay, does that work in that case?
It does. Will run. It will work. And the it's a AppWiz, appwiz.cpl is what you put in the Run window and hit OK. And that will give you the Programs and Features control panel. You can remove Avast and then restart the computer and all your icons should come back.
And you can't do a repair on Avast and it won't fix it? Or
not that I know of.
Okay, so just remove Avast.
And you can reinstall Avast after that, but there's something about it, it jumps into the middle of the update process that and messes everything up. So. Anyway, sorry, we had to geek out for a minute there.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Got another call.
Too fast.
You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, while you're talking about Avast, I got a question here. It's got a module that takes care of your passwords like normally Firefox would. Do you think it's more secure to have your passwords remembered by the antivirus like Avast? Than having them stored inside of like Firefox.
So if you just decide to store them in Firefox, what you'll want to do is go into Preferences and then go to Security, and there's a section in there for Master Password. And so basically, what it'll do is it'll encrypt those saved logins for you. And when you want to log into your bank account or something, you'll have to type in a Master Password for Firefox. Now that being said, we were going to talk about. Different password managers. So I haven't, the ones I've looked at have been apart from the antivirus. So I've looked at
right.
One password is one that's used here. LastPass is one that's used. And I'm currently working on switching to Bitwarden as my password manager.
Okay. So still haven't studied to see, which one was better. I went ahead and did it,
yeah.
But I just didn't know if I was getting better or getting worse. You know what I mean?
The real key is, though, make sure you like write that master password down correctly and covet it, because I'm a complete password manager denier because of that, because I've had numerous occasions where my clients forgot their master password and it created weeks of mayhem getting it straightened out, you know? So so make sure you get that, you know, down correctly. And you know, I just keep mine. I store my passwords in a public document on Google Docs, you know, that anybody can log on to and look at. So,
when all else fails, I know what you mean. I got a photo of mine in my phone just in case.
So, if you do decide to use the password manager, just write down the password, put it somewhere really safe, like a safe deposit box, or you know, if you have a home safe or something like that. Somewhere that has decent physical level security.
Like
so
get
that,
it tattooed on the bottom of your foot.
There we go.
It's a really good place.
So
nobody will ever find it there.
But yeah, just so, and once you start using a password manager, you type in that password all the time. So, you know, once it's memorized, but even with it, you know, with it being memorized, you know, probably having a physical copy of it, you know, somewhere in your life is probably a good idea just in case something weird happens.
Right.
Okay. Well, and then, other password managers have options where you can do a one-time password. And so you type in your password, you go into that section and you can get a list of like 10 passwords that will work once. And so you could give that to your attorney or something like that. And You know, so if something bad were to happen, they would have access to your accounts after that all got sorted out. But they wouldn't necessarily have to have the password for it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye. Have a few more minutes here. 963-2976. If you have a quick question, feel free to call in.
I was having a brief conversation with a client this morning about passwords. And, you know, I think one of the most important things for people to understand is, because quite honestly, I have two passwords that have been pretty much, and this breaks all the rules because I'm just a rebel, you know? I mean, I've got two passwords that have been kind of like the backbone of my whole password scheme for probably 15 years of my life, but they're completely nonsensical. You know, they're strings of letters that, you know, yeah, you could attach a phonetic pronunciation to them, but they don't mean anything. They're not in the dictionary. And one of the key things that people can do to keep their passwords safe is don't use it. If it's a word you can find in the dictionary, don't use it, you know, or come up with some sort of a variant on it, you know. Substitute some of the characters. If there's a letter A in it, use an at sign. If there's a letter E, use a number 3 or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know? Yeah, I prefer a passphrase where you have a string of words.
Uh-huh.
So, but that gets you in trouble other places.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Don't quite have it worked out yet. So, yeah. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK in studio with Steve Tate.
Tarver.
I'll get it this time. Louis the Computer Guy, and I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah.